Amen. Amen. It is well with our soul. God has won. Christ has prevailed. Wow. What a privilege it is to be called by Christ into His family, into His kingdom, to be lavished with His love, to have His favor bestowed upon us. And let that truth tonight, as you prepare your heart to come to His table, let that truth sink down deeply into your heart, into your soul, and really, truly know that it is well. The gates of hell will not prevail. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. I'm excited to share with you guys from the Word of God tonight. My name is Jason Ellerby. I'm the young couples pastor here at Broward. If I have not had a chance to meet you, look forward to hopefully meeting you one day soon. Got a question for you. Don't answer loudly. This is a Presbyterian church, so that usually doesn't happen. Every now and then it might, but you can just answer in your own heart. A question: have you ever been absolutely famished? Hungry, where you could just almost eat anything? Or have you ever been rejected, denied, humbled? Chances are you have been all of those things. I remember very well my first tears shed over a girl that broke my heart. I thought she was everything, but she became nothing to me. And she is something to me. I wish her well. The Lord had a better plan for me, immeasurably more than what I could ask of or imagine. And that girl, the Lord had another girl for me. But I also know that times that I was hungry and very thirsty, that I used to work for a ministry that I took about 50 to 55 junior high kids on these high adventures and into the mountains, down the rivers, through the forest, over the seas, all those type things. And you think 55 junior high kids, those guys will make you feel rejected and make you really hungry and thirsty, because you're making all their meals and you're doing everything for them. And at the end of our adventures, one particular adventure, we would end up on a jet boat down the Rogue River. And I knew that if I could just get those 55 kids on that jet boat, all I had to do was sit back and enjoy the ride. And at the end of the journey, we would hit a dock, not actually hit it, but we would dock it. And we would get off and we would go to this amazing log cabin that overlooked the Rogue River in southern Oregon. And they would have a feast prepared for us. And this would be the first time in weeks where I wasn't cooking, where I wasn't cleaning. All I was doing is sitting down and enjoying the meal, enjoying the fellowship. And my body was satisfied. Though it was temporal, it was a joy to arrive and to sit and to be served. Well, Christ tonight has a table, and He is inviting us to come and to sit and to be satisfied. And as I ate that barbecue chicken and that cornbread and those green beans, and your mouth starts to water when you kind of in the South, when you hear of cornbread and things like that, you get excited. When I was eating of those things, you know what? Soon, a few hours later, I would be hungry again. But Christ invites us to come to Him, to a meal in which we are eternally satisfied. And we're going to look at this in John 6. So you can turn your Bibles to John 6. We're going to be working through verses 35 through 40 and learning about those who felt rejected, those who have felt hunger, those who have felt thirst, that Jesus invites them to come to Him as the satisfier for all of those things. Before we enter into that passage, I'll give a little bit of a background. Jesus, earlier on in chapter 6, has fed the 5,000 people on the hillside next to the Sea of Galilee. They had followed Him there, and He had fed them, if you remember, from a little boy's 2 fish and 5 loaves of barley bread. The people were following Him to satisfy their physical hunger, and Christ satisfied that. But Jesus had a bigger picture to show them. He had a more true story for them to understand, that He longed for them to receive. And that's what we'll read about in John 6, 35 through 40. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to read through this, and then we'll walk through this text. Lord, thank You so much for the privilege of coming to not only Your Word tonight, but also coming to Your table. What a joy it is to know that we are invited, that we are invited by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all creation, the One who spoke and it came into being, the One who raises the dead, who can speak to dead men and they come forth. You are the One who has invited us tonight to sit at Your feet, to hear from Your Word, and then to dine at Your table. What a joy. What a privilege. Lord, please give us insight as we read Your Word. Please nourish our soul. And Lord, please be glorified. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, John 6, 35 through 40. You can join along with me as I read this. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen Me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and whoever comes to Me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given Me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of My Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So in these six short verses, we see that Christ has prepared a feast for our soul, and we learn that our role at this banqueting table is simply to look, to believe, and to come. And then we learn that His role is to receive, to satisfy, to sustain, and then raise up. So let's walk through this text and see what the Lord has for us. Verse 35, Jesus again speaking to those who had followed Him because their stomachs had been filled. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst." Jesus is the bread of life. And this bread is the reliever of hungry souls. In Him, our soul finds supply, finds rich supply. And unlike common bread that simply feeds the body, living bread supplies eternal sustenance to the soul. And just as there was enough bread to feed the 5,000 and then they had some to spare, there's enough of Christ to satisfy every longing of your soul and then some. And the bread of life, he uses this term bread. In that day and age, bread was common food for every meal. It was the daily necessary food at that time. Not like Western culture today where you have people with gluten allergies and this and that allergies. And you know that bread's going to put a few extra pounds on you so you don't want to eat bread. No, back in that day, every meal, every man would enjoy bread. It was for the king, and it was for the pauper. It was for the rich, it was for the poor. It was for the young, the old, the male, the female. Bread that satisfied everyone. Jesus does not discriminate. Jesus satisfies everyone. The one who is rich, and you think lacks nothing, if he lacks Christ, his soul is empty. And he is poor. And Jesus alone can satisfy him. If he is poor, and you think he needs an education, or you think he needs a car, well, those things might be good and fine and dandy, but what he really needs is Jesus Christ, because Christ alone will satisfy him throughout all of eternity. We go back in the Old Testament and we get a little picture of what this bread of life would look like. In Psalm 104:15, we realize that God gives wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. Christ, he is the one that gladdens our heart. As we come to the table tonight and partake of the fruit of the vine, The fruit of the vine is given to gladden the heart of man. Does your soul find joy in Jesus Christ? It really, truly should. There's a lot of things in this life that He's given us that are amazing, that are so fun and so enjoyable, but they pale in comparison to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the greatest source of joy for our heart. He's the greatest source of strength for our soul. And when we run to Him, we are deeply satisfied. In Ecclesiastes 10:19, it says, "Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life." Bread is made for laughter. Christ should bring great joy. In the midst of any circumstance, Christ should bring you great joy. He should bring me great joy. When we read the book of Philippians and we understand that Paul is in jail at that time, but yet in that time he can say, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and to be glad in every circumstance. Christ is the one who enables us to do that. Apart from Him, we will be pressed down and crushed by our circumstances, but in Christ Jesus, our soul will rejoice with joy, and joy eternal. And then one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament, Isaiah 55, 1 through 3, we read these words. God says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." How easy it is to go wandering through the world and to look for things that satisfy, to give money to things that we think will satisfy, a car, a home, a vacation, whatever it is that we're longing for. But we turn and we look and we end up empty, because the Lord had never designed those things to satisfy our desire. Sure, we can delight in those good gifts of the Lord, but only Christ will satisfy the desire of our heart. We don't need to waste time pursuing the things of the world. We need to spend time enjoying Jesus Christ and pursuing Him. He is the one that invites us to come. And He says, "Come, here, come. I am the bread of life. And when you come to me, you shall not hunger. When you believe in me, you shall never thirst." Your soul is supplied with a peace and a satisfaction that will not be taken from you when you come to Christ. Christ is your everlasting possession. Unlike natural bread that you eat once and you hunger again later, partake in Christ and you are eternally satisfied. The depths of your soul are eternally satisfied. There's a place that God has designed within us that will never be satisfied. Your soul will never be satisfied in anything except Christ. Only He satisfies, and He is the one who says, "Come." He is the one who welcomes you at His feet. You shall not hunger, and you shall never thirst again when you are coming to Jesus. And in verse 36, he says, "But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." The painful unbelief of the human nature. How quick and easily we don't believe the precious promises of God, and how quick and easily we run to broken cisterns in which He has promised us they hold no water, they will not satisfy. Yet how quick and easily we run to those things. We run to the idols of our heart instead of running to the satisfier of our soul. The painful unbelief of human nature. Jesus saw it there, and He saw it with sorrow. When we see Jesus looking out over the people, we see Him weeping because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And He says, "I am the good shepherd." And He calls His sheep to Himself because He knows that He is the one who will prepare a table for us. He is the one who will lead us to green pastures and gentle waters. He is the one that will satisfy. Verse 37, He says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." So when we come to Jesus, we know at least three things. We shall not hunger. We shall never thirst, and we shall never be cast out. If we are given to Christ, then we will come to Christ. Against all odds, we will come. Do you have a neighbor or friend that you have been praying for, or a co-worker that you've been praying for? If the Father has given them to Christ, then they will come. This verse gives me great hope in ministry. I can't make them come, but it's promised that if God has given them to Christ, they will come. And I don't know if He's given them to Christ or not, but all I've been challenged to proclaim to them the Word, to love them, to serve them, to share with them, and to intercede on their behalf. And I know that regardless of how bad I do at that, or regardless of the difficulties that I see in that, if God has given them to Christ, against all odds, they will come. They will come to Him, and they will never be cast out. Christ will not refuse to save those who come to Him, no matter their past sins or no matter their current weaknesses. What a joy it is to know that we have a Savior that welcomes us to His feet, that welcomes the prostitute to sit at His feet and to wash His feet with her tears and her hair. He welcomes the tax collector. He welcomes the Pharisee who comes to Him at night. He welcomes those who come to Him, and He will not cast them out. He has welcomed me, and He has welcomed you. What a joy it is to come into the presence of the One who has invited you and who welcomes you and who promises you He will never cast you out. But He will receive you graciously. He will pardon you freely. He will justify you completely and glorify you ultimately. And it pleases Him to bring you into the number of His children and give you everlasting life. Romans 8:30 says, "And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." This is a promise that the Lord gives us, that He will carry to completion the work that He has started in us. And He will not cast you out. The world may be against you. Family and friends may forsake you, but Christ will never cast you out. And many of us come in tonight and we say, "Yeah, Jason, but you don't know my week. You don't know how difficult my week has been. You don't know the amount of times that I stumbled and I failed. You don't know how many times I rejected the tender voice of the Holy Spirit. You don't know how many times I ran back to those idols as a dog to its vomit. I ran back to those things, Jason. You don't understand how hard my heart feels at this moment." I don't understand, but Christ understands. And He has promised that when you come to Him, He will receive you. He will welcome you in. No matter your current weakness, when you come to Him by faith, believing in Him, looking to Him, He will satisfy your soul. And in verse 8, He says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." What was that will? John 3:16 says it plainly. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And going on in verse 17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And praise God, I was one of them. And He came and He set His affection upon me and He called me. It doesn't matter how lost you are. Lost is lost. If you're lost, you're lost. You're not more lost than anything else. I've been lost a few times. And you know what? I was lost. It wasn't like, "Oh, I'm almost not lost." No, I was lost. And when you're lost, He set His affection upon you. And He called you by name. And He came to seek and to save you. In verse 39, it says, "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day." Those who come to Christ shall not be lost. Jesus is the one who goes after the lost sheep. Jesus is the one who will clean the house to pursue the lost coin. Jesus is the one that runs after the lost son. Jesus is the seeker of your soul. There are none who seek Him. No, not one. But He came to seek. And if you are here tonight, He is seeking you. And He is calling you. And He's calling you to come and to dine in His presence and to be satisfied in the depths of your soul with the nourishment that only He provides. From grace to glory, Christ will hold you fast and will keep you safe in spite of the world, in spite of the flesh, and in spite of the devil. And praise be to Him, because those three enemies are so often rising up in my life, the flesh, the world, and the devil, and they're seeking to draw me away from Him. But the Lord has promised that those who are His, no one can snatch out of His hands. That He who began the good work will carry it to completion. And no one or nothing can stop that from happening. Christ is the receiver of all who come and the preserver of all who believe. And praise be to Him. And then in verse 40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Christ, He receives sinners and He preserves saints. And by the will of God and the power of Christ, God's children will persevere. It is a promise, and it is a promise that He has given us. And His promises, you can take them to the bank. His promises, you can build your life upon. His promises are for all eternity. So what a joy it is to know that we serve a risen Savior who invites us to come. And when we come to Him, when we look to Him, when we believe on Him, He will satisfy. He will not reject you, but He will welcome you in. As dirty and as vile as you might be, He will cleanse you. And He will present you to the Father in His spotless robes of righteousness. What a joy. What a privilege. And hallelujah, what a Savior that we serve. And one of the ways that we come to Christ is that we come to fellowship with Him at His table, which is prepared for us tonight. In John 6:57, Jesus says, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me." Jesus invites you to feed upon Him, to daily nourish your soul upon Him, for He is the bread of life, and He is the satisfier of your deepest hungers and thirst. In John 6:63, later on in this chapter, He says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." He gives life. Not only life, but life abundantly. Life to the full. That's how much He satisfies you. He satisfies you, He satisfies me with His abundance, with His fullness. And that is His prayer. We read about it in Ephesians 3, when Paul is praying for the saints at Ephesus, he prays that they would be filled with the fullness of God. And when you're filled with the fullness of God, there's no room for anything else. And that's His desire for you. To be filled with His fullness, to be overflowing, to be satisfied with His bread, to have His living water. And it's not a physical thing, as the woman at the well thought, or as those who had their bellies filled thought. No, it's a spiritual, eternal thing that can never be taken away from you. Moth cannot eat it. Rust cannot destroy it. Thief cannot break in and steal it. It is yours and yours for eternity. Come and feast on the riches of Christ Jesus. The invitation that Christ extended to those who followed Him over 2,000 years ago, it's the same invitation that He extends to us who follow Him today. So tonight, as we come to His table, I encourage you to look to Him who receives you in spite of your sin. To believe in Him who can satisfy your emptiness, and to come to Him who will sustain you all the way to glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the privilege that we have tonight to come to You. For Father, we are in many ways weary and heavy laden, and You invite us to come, to cast our cares upon You, for You care for us. You invite us to come and to eat that which satisfies. And Lord, we praise you that you satisfy. That once we've come to you, we no longer have to go looking for satisfaction in other places. And that we have the privilege to daily come to you. And I pray that we would, Lord. I pray that tonight as we partake of this, your meal, that we would rejoice in you. That we would realize that you alone receive us and satisfy us and carry us to your Father's presence. So, Lord, may we delight in you at your table. In Christ's name, amen.